In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we echo the blind man's prayer. Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. He must show us mercy. He must help us. So we cry out to him in desperation, for he is the King, David's son, come to set us free, not only from sin, but also from every trouble. He brings health and salvation. We are beggars, weak and worn out. The burdens of life exact their toll. Slowly our strong backs give out, and our shoulders begin to droop as if pulled down by life itself. We used to think we were strong. We could handle anything. Even if all succumbed, we never would. But trust in oneself is a fool's errand. All men are dust, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The more we live, the more we recognize our weakness. The more we live, the more we can be stressed and fatigued. We are born helpless, and we quickly return to that helpless state in just a few years. Yet in between, as we strive for independence, as we strive to do what we want and to make a difference in this world, we are thrust back to our helpless state as we sing, Lord, have mercy on us. We cannot stop life from happening. The kids grow up. Loneliness sets in. Afflictions knock at the door, and we find ourselves sitting in a hospital wondering how all this came to be. But we need not think so large. Another cup of spilled milk, another skinned knee or bumped head, another day at the office or at home, another empty fridge, another trip to the store or to the doctor's, another house to clean, taxes to file, bills to pay, another week, another month, another year. They all seem to blend together. The change man so desperately desires is beyond our ability. What's the point of all of this? We're battered and beaten from life, knocked down and kicked around. We welcome sleep. And yet we also quickly realize the sooner we fall asleep, the sooner we have to wake up and do it all over again. Lord, have mercy. We are beggars, nothing to give. Nothing to give, everything to receive. This prayer for mercy is all-encompassing. It's humbling for help. It's a humbling cry for help to the Lord, the Son of David. We have nothing without him. No food, no good weather, no government, no peace, no health, no money. All this comes from him. We can't bargain with him, but we trust and rely on his mercy. So like the blind man, we cry out for mercy. We will not be silent, for he alone can help. The world will try to persuade us that we're simply talking to an imaginary friend, that it's a psychological experience that just helps us feel a little bit better. Our own flesh will try to tell us that you can pray until you're blue in the face. Yet you finally are the one who has to go out and make a change in your life. Do not be deterred. Cry out all the more. His ears are attentive to your cries. Will he help you if you are silent? Well, rain does fall on the righteous and the wicked. But we also read that he did not perform many miracles in Nazareth because of their lack of faith. They did not believe that he could help, and so they did not ask him to help. Faith, however, will pray. It wants to pray because it sees no other help. So pray for great things and for small things. Pray for important things and for unimportant things. Even pray for the resurrection of the dead, for nothing is impossible with God. He must show you mercy. He must help you. None of this caught him off guard. He knew full well what your life would be. He knew full well what Jerusalem would do to him, but he goes willingly, for he knew the trials and the difficulties you would face in your life and how inept you'd be at handling it all. He knew you could not save yourself. And so you were on his mind as he walked. He desired to set you free from every affliction, not just the big ones, but even the little ones. He wants you to deal with nothing, but he goes carrying it all. He goes to redeem you from your empty way of life, your striving for retirement, for health, for success, for making a difference. He comes to give you meaning and purpose, with cries of mercy ringing in his ears. He walks on to Jerusalem. He will answer your prayers by being mocked, insulted, and spit upon. He allows his back to be scourged to reconcile you to God, and his hands to be pierced to remove your many sins, and his head to bow to remove death, hell, and the grave, but also to remove the spilled milk and the repetitive week, the disjointed day and the sleepless nights. For when sin is removed, then the effects of sin are also removed. And on the third day he rises. Our king will not be defeated, but in death he claims the victory. It is finished is a cry of success, of victory, of conquering. He holds the field forever, ready to stream forgiveness to you, mercy to you, peace to you. Do not feel sorry for him. Do not try to make yourself sad on Good Friday. Your sins did not cause his death. He could have left you in your sins, but his love caused your death. He willingly took on your sins. Every affliction is removed, paradise is open, the king assumes his throne, ready now to dispense and show you mercy. The disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them. But the blind man saw all of this and believed. Like him, you also see and believe that his cross is the answer to your every problem. And so we mark ourselves with the sign of the cross, for through baptism we have died with Christ and been raised with him. How great were our sins, how much greater his love. How great were our sins, how much greater the payment for sin, not gold or silver, but his holy, precious blood and innocent suffering and death. This was not revealed to you by men, but by the Father in heaven. God has opened your eyes. And so you've come here today with the beggar's cry on your lips. Lord, have mercy on us. So Christ, Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus responds. And as we lay our sins and our troubles and our frustrations before him, we see the sacrifice who takes away the sins of the world in consecrated bread and wine. The atoning flood of his precious blood is far more than we have asked for, but God is merciful. There is no stronger soap. It cuts and eats both sin and death in an instant to cleanse us inside and out, body and soul. He leaves no part of us untouched. No part of our lives untouched. And so you depart from this house changed, filled with joy and gladness as you follow him. For the very thing you have asked for, he has given to you, and far more. The very troubles that keep you up at night, he has removed by his blood. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.